You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, The Importance of Fathers. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
During the last two decades, some social experts have been loudly saying that traditional families, those households which have both a father and a mother, are no longer important. In some cases, these contenders for radical social change have vigorously argued that requiring a father and a mother in a home nowadays is not only unnecessary, it is sometimes even harmful. In recent years, this ridiculous thinking has given a big push to very liberal and extremely harmful ideas about families and marriage. The media has picked up such goofy ideas and faulty thinking and has repeated them again and again over a wide audience. And then, as often happens, after having been subtly brainwashed by the secular media, the public often unknowingly not only begins to believe this fantasy that traditional families are not important, but a growing number of both men and women have even taken up the cause to promote this ungodly approach to life. And so what a shock it was to see U.S. News and World Report last February 1995 on its front cover announce in bold headlines, Why Fathers Count. And in a subtitle, the same cover story announced that 2 out of every 5 kids in America do not live with their real fathers. And that, according to the U.S. News and World Report cover story, this makes a huge difference. The liberal philosophy of undermining the family is wrong. Every year, we on this broadcast devote special programs to the support of the family. We also encourage husbands and fathers. And on this program, we also proclaim on the basis of God's Word that husbands and fathers are not only a key to a happy home, they are indispensable pillars for a stable society. After studying numerous past civilizations that have collapsed and even disappeared, historians have repeatedly observed that when the family disintegrates, the collapse of the society is not far behind. And so then, rather than trying to build the future of our families and our society on failing liberal philosophies of men, instead, we as individuals and as a nation, we need to establish our future upon the clear teachings of God's holy word. From the very beginning of time, God established the family pattern, and at the creation, God set forth the prototype that he desires and the household arrangement that he will surely bless. Adam and Eve were the first parents, the first husband and wife, and the first father and mother. Therefore, no man or woman can ever claim, no matter how cleverly they reason, and no matter how loudly they try to shout, that God has ever said that he will richly bless any other than the traditional family arrangement. Of course, in our sin-filled society, and because of his gracious compassion, God never abandons even those families and marriages which are shipwrecked upon the rocks of liberal philosophies regarding marriage and the family. Oh, our God is a God of love and forgiveness. His eyes of mercy are wide open every day. Our God of grace sees the casualties of endless divorce, and in his grace and love, God understands the anguish, the deep hurt, and the endless regret of many marriage partners who wish things would have worked out, but for some reason they just didn't. And so today, my friend, if you are a single parent for whatever reason, know one thing for sure. God is a God of mercy and a God of compassion. He will never abandon you. God so loved the world, the Bible says, that he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to die on the cross and to pay the penalty for our sins, including the sins of delinquent fathers, disturbed homes, and broken marriages. And now, all those who, through sincere repentance, confess their sins, believe and trust in the sin-cleansing power of our Lord Jesus Christ, they shall not be held accountable on the day of judgment. No, they shall not perish in their sins, but they shall live with joy in the forgiveness of God, both in this life and also in the life to come. For God, the Bible says, did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, and He did not send His Son to condemn single parents. But rather, God sent His Son, Jesus, into this sin-filled world so that this world and all sinners might be saved through Him. And so then, even if you feel today that your family is one of the greatest disasters of the decade, then with the assurance that God in His grace will help you, especially you husbands and fathers, on this your day, take a moment also to listen to the Lord's will and His word. You husbands and fathers, God has given you a great privilege. Through your body, God enables the miracle of creation to take place. And in His family arrangement, God has placed you at the head of your home. Each of these roles is a unique blessing and a special privilege. But along with this also comes great responsibility. As a God-pleasing husband, you are to love your wife, the Bible teaches, even when she fails. And as a God-pleasing father, you need to be firm and forgiving and most of all patient toward your children. The Bible says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord." Again, the Bible says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children, that they may not lose heart." And so today, if you are one of those many husbands or fathers deeply troubled and greatly burdened by the failure of your family or your marriage, then it is time for you to look at real-life examples of help and hope. These role models of guilt-laden individuals who were restored by God are found in the Bible. For example, Matthew was a tax collector, and in Jesus' day, these revenue agents had a very bad public image. Even the collectors themselves were often convinced that due to their hated professions, even their very best religious efforts could never assure them of God's grace. And so then it was a total shock and a complete surprise to Matthew, the hated tax collector, when Jesus Christ came along. Here was a great religious leader, a powerful teacher, and yet Jesus was one who also had great compassion and love. Even though Matthew knew that he deserved nothing but God's wrath and punishment, and that he certainly never deserved any love or forgiveness, Matthew, the hated tax collector, was drawn to Jesus when in forgiveness and compassion Jesus said to Matthew, "Follow me," or take the woman caught in the act of adultery. She was dragged before Jesus, and she had no way out. Her accusers cried out loudly and publicly that she had to be punished for her terrible sin. The self-righteous were convinced that Jesus had no choice. He had to condemn her for her terrible, terrible acts, which were so publicly known. But this is not what Jesus did. Instead of condemning the woman caught in the act, Jesus had compassion. Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven. Go now and sin no more." Oh, my friend, let these open examples of Jesus' compassion and mercy for sinners be for you your greatest encouragement. You see, it does not matter how deep in sin you have been. There still is hope. You husbands and fathers, in the eyes of our gracious God, it does not matter how many mistakes you have made in the past. The past is the past, and the past is over. Put the past behind you. Listen to the words of Jesus that He spoke to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven. Go now and sin no more." And then by the power of God and the grace of God and through the loving and forgiving Christ, look to the future. My friend, build not upon the garbage and the ashes of regret, but instead establish your future upon the solid foundation of God's grace made real for all of us in the cross of Christ and in the bitter suffering and the terrible death of Christ and the life-giving resurrection of our blessed Redeemer. For by Christ's bloody stripes, the Scriptures say, you and I are healed from our sins. The Apostle Paul echoes the joy of all sinners when he speaks about the crucified and resurrected Christ. Christ was delivered up, St. Paul writes, and nailed to the cross because of our transgressions. And he was raised again from the dead for our justification. And so then today, as we talk about marriages and families and fathers, we quickly see that the statistical results of broken families, ruptured marriages, and missing fathers are damning evidence against even the most persistent liberal voices, calling for radical social change, which would inevitably cause us to depart from the traditional family. Everyone knows, yes, everybody knows, that our jails and prisons are overcrowded. Our prison population is exploding, not by the year, but by the month. And according to one major news source, studies now show that the majority of prison inmates, both black and white, grew up in non-traditional families. Either the husband or wife was missing, or some other non-traditional situation existed. In a well-researched book called Growing Up with a Single Parent, sociologist Sarah McClanahan and Gary Sandifer pointed out that young women, I quote, young women who were reared in disrupted families were twice as likely to become teen mothers. These same social scientists, the report reveals, have made similar links between a father's absence and a child's likelihood of being a dropout, jobless, a drug addict, a suicide victim, mentally ill, and a target of sexual abuse. Oh, there are places in America, the magazine reported, where fathers who are usually the best hope to help young boys are so rare that bedlam engulfs the community. Teachers, ministers, cops, and other substitute authority figures are fighting a losing battle as they try to replace the fathers. The report then further says, the result is often an astonishing level of violence and an incomprehensible incidence of brutality. The statistics on broken families and the negative evaluations increasingly given by secular experts regarding the future of families are discouraging. They can even be downright depressing. But this is also why we today so desperately need to hear and also to proclaim the good news of God's gospel, of forgiveness and of healing. And this is also why it is so critical that you husbands and you fathers not only hear God's gospel, but that you also act upon it. Maybe your marriage is broken and maybe your home has been destroyed. Or maybe you are still together as a family, but there is a lot of disharmony and problems. Now, my friend, is a time for you to rebuild, not upon the vanity of humanity, but upon the reliable promises of God. Begin, my friend, today by speaking a private prayer of repentance to your gracious God. Ask Him, yes, ask Him to relieve your sin-burdened heart with His total forgiveness, and then with that blessed assurance, begin this very day to have a new attitude toward your wife and your children. And when they fail, be patient and forgive them. And when you fail, ask them to forgive you. Be kind, the Bible says, and tender-hearted and forgiving toward each other, just as God in Jesus Christ has forgiven you. Oh, you husbands and fathers, this can be a new day for you. All is not lost for you and for your family. There is hope for the future. This joyful hope can be yours as you build your future and the future of your family on the solid rock of the perfect forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then, don't delay, but begin today. Forgive the other members of your family, even as God in Jesus Christ has forgiven you. This forgiveness, my friend, will then not only give you a new day, but it will guarantee you a blessed future, both for this life and also for eternity. Oh, you husbands and you fathers, have a great day in the Lord and in His perfect forgiveness. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.